Okay.
But I still okay. Hang on. Let me redo that completely because I feel like even when you edit it, it's gonna be trash. Okay. Welcome back.
Welcome back to another episode of And Tears Why. Paige, why are we here?
Because, Lauren, thank you for that intro. We've got some serious mail to open from Shop Girl and what's the guy's name? NY152.
Interesting. Yes, very interesting. This episode, a special guest joins us.
Today we have here with us voice actress Ashley Bornanson.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for joining us and tell our listeners a little bit about yourself.
This is my first virtual podcast interview, so it's very fun. I feel like you're like little angels in my ears that I just get to respond to.
Wow, that is a first. Thank you.
Of course. Yeah, so I am a TV film, voice actress, writer, producer, and I'm also the co-founder of a voiceover kind of academy in Burbank, California called Voice Masters. Super fortunate to have a movie that just came out on Netflix 2 weeks ago. So if you guys have any children or nieces or nephews and want to check out Latte and the Magic Waterstone, you'll have to check it out. I voice the character of Latte. And there's a bunch of other stuff, but that's like the, you know, the main one that just came out.
Prime time.
Oh, yeah. Gotta stay current.
Right. And heck, as a full-grown adult, I watched Latte.
You did? Oh, that's amazing.
I love animated movies. So, yeah, that was right up my alley.
Oh, that's so sweet. That means so much to me. Little scoop, there's going to be a latte, too. So, woo!
What? That's a latte gossip. Thank you for that.
Yes, a little exclusive. We had no idea it was coming to Netflix. It was like I found out when I got a Google alert. I was like, wait, is this real? And then I called people that worked on it with me and they're like, no, it's real. I'm like, what? That's crazy.
Oh, that's so weird. You had no idea it was going to be on Netflix at all?
No. Sometimes when you do different films and projects, like you just don't know where it's going to end up sometimes. I mean, a lot of times they'll tell you, but sometimes, you know, working with foreign, you know, production companies and stuff, it's like, oh, maybe it'll be in theaters. And it wasn't a lot of theaters overseas, but yeah, then it came to Netflix. So it was really cool.
That's so exciting. Congratulations. I mean, that's
Thank
amazing.
You.
Yeah,
which is so cool. And then I'm such like an old person that I don't know when things are like trending and stuff. And it was apparently – it was number two in the top movies in the United States, and it stayed on the top 10 list for, like, a couple weeks. So that was just so crazy.
You're like, literally, it me. Well, thank you so much for that intro. Definitely, everyone, check out Lil Latte and Latte and the Magic Waterstone. But we're going to dive right into this perfectly knit sweater from 1998. You've Got Mail, starring Meg Ryan and Tom Hanks. So,
oh my gosh, Ashley, I love your little metaphors.
My little plug.
That is just cozy. So cute. How much you, yeah, you really put in the effort. I'm loving
Nailed it. So, Ashley, why did you choose this movie? Does it have a special place in your heart? Is it that cozy knit sweater under your bed? Like, what is it? Tell us.
Yeah. You know what's funny? I hadn't watched this movie in years. So when I rewatched it, I told you guys beforehand that I took notes because I was like, wow, I have so many new thoughts about this and like love and what, like how love is portrayed in the, what, 90s or early 2000s, whenever it came out. But I am obsessed with Meg Ryan and Tom Hanks. And
same.
I love rom-coms. Like whenever someone asks me what movies I like, I pull up a list in my phone. And there's a long portion of that are rom-coms. I just love. And, you know, I could go to action films and that kind of stuff. But at the end of the day, I just love curling up to a good, you know, inspirational, even Hallmark films. Like, I'm all about that. And
they're just feel good.
Such feel good. And I feel like less and less of those are coming out these days. So when you guys were like, what movie do you want to do? I just named a bunch of like these ones I loved, and I just love their chemistry, and there's so much to unpack. But
it's
also
iconic,
just,
truly.
It's iconic, and also just like some things I'm like, I don't know if I love this part about it, but yeah.
I'm going to say something that both of you are probably going to be really disappointed in me about, but this is the first Tom Hanks movie that I've seen all the way through. Not counting Toy Story, but like a live action Tom Hanks
film.
You've
never watched Forrest Gump or Castaway?
No. Castaway, not at all. Forrest Gump, I've seen maybe the first 30 minutes of it.
Oh my gosh, there's so many good ones. Wait, what about
those are like staple pieces in our society? Like,
yeah.
I told you you would be disappointed.
They really?
I gave you that little header.
Why do you think that is? Is he just like too vanilla for you? Or?
Do you just hate him? Or like, like what's going on? Like, please.
I mean, Tom Hanks is America's sweetheart. Okay. I'm not going to say I hate him. Just a lot of his films, I feel like I probably should have watched them earlier on in my life. And now I feel like it's just so far gone that I'm like,
John and Chris and I are going to have a serious conversation. I'm going to be like, why did you not force your child against her will to watch these at an early age?
Sleepless
like
most in Seattle.
Yes. Oh, my gosh.
Philadelphia. Oh, my gosh. That was so good.
I know. Yeah. I'm the worst.
Sleepless in Seattle is next on your watch list because that is my mother's like probably favorite movie. I've been watching that since I was like probably 7. And same with this one. I'd seen them like when I would watch this again in preparation for this recording. My mom actually watched it with me. She was like, "You're recording that?" So shout out to you, Mom. Love you. Hope you love this episode. Okay, but yeah. This one's for you.
Well, now
you know what you need.
Well, now Ange is also disappointed
in
me.
Is.
So
she won't look at you
something
the same.
I don't take.
Oh my gosh. You guys have such fun banter. Like you could just tell. Have you been friends for a really long time?
Oh,
you're like, no, we literally just met.
Really, really.
We're actually close to 4 years.
So, oh my gosh, that's not that long. I love it. Mm-mm. That's amazing. No, you need a group. I know you had my friend Chad Smathers on before, and Chad and I had created this group called the Cinema Society a couple years ago where we would pick a film, like an old school film. Usually Chad would pick it because he's such a film buff. And we'd all like sit down and we'd all have like interview questions afterwards where we'd all have big discussions and stuff. But you need kind of a group where you can like dive into these classics. Cause I feel like when you're looking for a movie on a Friday night, you don't tend to go to the classics, you know, but it's fun when you like all intentionally are like, no, we're watching a classic.
We have to. Yeah. That's a great point. Mm-hmm. From now on, that's the rule.
We need like a virtual cinema society.
When I was growing up, my parents would always watch Turner Classic movies. So I'm very well seasoned in the black and white movies and, you know, very, very old movies and just film in general. But just this whole era around You've Got Mail, I'm not so in touch with. So
I'm shook. Well, did you like the movie then? Like, since this was your first, like,
Yeah, I did. Okay. It was just funny because it's like, I feel like Ashley said, movies like this aren't being filmed anymore. So, because I don't know, like, just the whole kind of premise of this thing is like, I think the funniest quote was right at the beginning, is email infidelity? And it's like, it's like that kind of set the tone for me, like, okay, casual cheating.
Wait, I love that you're like bringing this up because I'm like, this is a very big problem I have about this film. And I was like, should we just start with this? Like, 1000%. Yeah, we just need to address this. Like, we're not trying to bash the greats of the world, but I mean, this is, to me, this is 100% cheating.
Oh, most definitely.
Like,
Not okay.
For sure.
Not okay.
Just that scene at the very end, or maybe not even at the very end, but towards the end, when Kathleen finally sits down with the poor sap that she's been with for I don't know how mm-hmm. long. And he's like delicately telling her, like, I don't love you. And she was like, oh my God, I don't love you either. And they're laughing. I'm like, this conversation should have happened so long ago. Like, where? Well,
and that's what made it okay for me, was how it happened. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I mean, it doesn't make it right. But the fact that you could tell,
she didn't know.
But you could tell from the beginning, he's just kind of like, I could sense that there were issues there. Again, really? Doesn't make it right, but it helped me be like, you know what, girl, you do you. You go get New York 152. Like, it's okay.
See, yeah. And so I was really trying to analyze his behavior, because I was like, is this just like, again, to me in my head, it's never justified.
Right.
But I was like, is he treating her badly? And then when I saw him trying to like help her get interviews to promote her store and everything, I'm like, what a good guy. Like, why? Like, how are you comfortable curling up in bed each night and talking to another man? Even if you don't know him, I just think emotional cheating might be even worse.
I think it's definitely worse.
So bad. Yeah. Like, what if someone found those emails, and also you're not giving your spouse or like loved one like the opportunity to have those deeper conversations? So, because what if they had a lot to say about, you know, what you're going through or whatever? Maybe they like secretly want to be pen pals. I mean, I love like getting letters in the mail. I'd always tell all my boyfriends, I'm like, please send me a letter in the mail, even if we live 5 minutes away.
I love it.
No, I think the emotional, that's a great point, because emotional cheating, like, you can't have an emotional connection with everyone. You just can't. You can be physical, you know, you can check all the different boxes, but the emotional connection, that's not natural. Like, you really have to work towards that, or it's something that's just like a spontaneous thing that just happens because you really just connect with that person. So I'm like, yeah, definitely would say that is worse. So.
And that just kind of goes to show how much different times are these days by the fact that movies like this aren't being made. You can just tell that this film belongs in, you know, a category of rom-coms where similar storylines have played out. And it's hilarious because it's like romanticizing cheating. But when it's like the girl is with a guy that's not as interesting, or it's almost like you feel that rush of, hey, this isn't right, but maybe it is. Like, you feel that along with the main character. So it's like,
if this is wrong, I don't want to be right.
Exactly. Exactly. It's that thing where you're like, oh my gosh, like, this is so scandalous, but I'm so into it. And that just goes to show the sign of the times, yeah, like, facts. Clearly.
It's funny because it seems like this is such a far-fetched concept at this point in time, you know, that she's even met someone over the email. And like, she really acts like it isn't a big deal. But to think now how many relationships have been ruined by things like that, whether it's DMs on Instagram or Facebook Messenger or texting, whatever, it's like that is just so common now. Maybe that's why I'm like, oh, it's whatever. Like, that's normal. Like, watching the movie, you know, because I feel like I see it all the time on.
Well, it just makes me so sad, though. Like, why? It's now, terrible. Because I hadn't seen it in like maybe 5-10 years. It kind of left such a bad taste in my mouth the whole film, because I was like, you guys are okay with this. And the fact that Tom Hanks's character, NY, what was it? NY 152 kept like kind of even nudging at it, like, oh, you're obviously not here with the guy you're dating, you're obviously not here with the guy you live with or whatever, just made me so sad that it was just so accepted. Like, it wasn't even acknowledged, like, hey, this could be wrong, right?
Yeah. And then just the whole like messing with her after he finds out that it's her, but she doesn't know that it's him.
Oh, I want to hear what you think about that.
That honestly kind of made me uncomfy, because I would get so mad if someone was kind of like, because I mean, he was toying with her in a way. He was trying to do it in a way where I don't know if maybe he just liked having that upper hand to see how it was going to go with her, to see if he even wanted to disclose that, you know, he was the one in the emails. I just, something felt off about that part. It would have been so much better if they kind of found out together. But the fact that he was kind of toying with her, like, oh, like, you should ask if he's married. Have you asked yet? Oh, he didn't answer your question. I was like, you're such a little bag. Like, what are you doing?
See, I see that differently because women are notorious for being good investigators or, like, we're supposed to know all the things. Granted, this was a different time and she didn't have the resources we have today. However, I'm like, heck, if he figured it out first, it doesn't matter how he figured it out. You should have done a better job being a woman. So you know what? I'm like, toy with her, brother. Like, he won. He won that. He figured it out first. So
that's so interesting. Yeah.
I disagree.
When I first watched this film, I loved Tom Hanks's character, and now I just kind of hate him. And as someone who, like, runs a business, like, I just kept thinking, I'm like, at what point is he actually going to apologize for destroying her life and her mother's legacy?
Literally. And
I just thought there could have been, like, solutions of, like, hey, it's looking like your company might go down or might suffer greatly, but what if my company acquires your company and we put a shop around the corner in the children's section and you run the children's section? You know what I mean? Or, like, there are so many other options that could have happened where he actually showed respect for her legacy and what she built. And it just felt like that wasn't even touched upon at all.
It wasn't. It was. There was absolutely no resolution in that. It was literally just, hey, I'm going to make your business go under, and then you're just going to have to forgive me for it. And oh, by the way, you also secretly love me and you don't know it. Yeah. And then it's just like, that's it.
And then
that's all you get. And I'm like, what?
And then, because I feel like I'm just so hypersensitive to this of, like, people being manipulated or, like, acting like the victim. But when she's like, you're just a suit, and she goes off on that little tangent she goes on, and it drastically affects him. I'm like, boy, now you're trying to make us feel bad for you. And, like, she did nothing wrong. And that just made me so mad.
I feel like that's most men in an argument, though. They could have literally done all the wrong things and you bring it up and it gets turned on you and you're like, what?
I know. We're going to look like such, like, anti-men on this thing, but
that's not it. We're just stating some facts, okay? I mean, we can't help it. We're just facts. Reporting.
And as women, we're like comforters and nurturers.
Exactly.
And you're like, wait, I should have never – that is inexcusable. Like, you know what's also inexcusable? That he had never apologized and he never came up with a solution for your livelihood. It was, like, kind of just a joke.
Yeah, for sure. And he even straight out said, like, I hope you can forgive me. And that's it. Like, it wasn't ever a matter of maybe we can try and work this out to where, you know, your livelihood won't come crashing down in front of you.
Yeah.
And, like, it obviously physically made her ill, too. Like, right after it happened, she, like, had that cold or she was sick or whatever, and he brought her flowers. And he was almost not understanding as to why she was being a little bit more cold towards him.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Like you said, it left a bad taste.
Yeah,
in my mouth.
I thought he lacked a huge empathy. Like, he is someone who does not have empathy. And there's something about it. I was like, you just can't end up with him. Like, this can't be your life, right?
Yeah.
Wasn't it crazy, guys? This used to be one of my favorite movies.
No, the whole time I'm thinking, I'm like, sis, you need to take that job that, you know, Tom Hanks's ex-girlfriend offered you, because that would kind of stick it to him. So,
and then you go over the math and you're like, okay, he said, oh, your company probably brings in $350,000 a year. Okay, then you take taxes out of that, then you pay your employees, and then you pay your storefront, which was pretty massive in New York City. It's like, there's no way. I mean, we could get into the logistics of movie magic and how everyone always has apartments that are, like, 10 times out of their price range in real life.
Oh, yeah.
But there's no way she could have, like, survived on that. And even if it was back in the day. But yeah, I mean, if you destroy someone's life that badly, they're probably going to have to move out of the city if they can't, like, scramble to find something very quickly.
Yeah. And like Paige was saying, like, I feel like it would have been better had there was some sort of conversation with Kathleen's first boyfriend, the sweet one. Mm-hmm. I feel like if there was more of an obvious tiff between the two of them and that he was just straight up awful, but I mean, he was clearly this like really sweet guy, and they even said when they were kind of ending things together, like, oh, we're perfect for each other. Like, why can't we make this work? And they were laughing about it. That's why I was like, girl, like, you're cheating so bad. Yeah. Like, what are you doing? And you're like talking about it at your workplace, and your friend, I guess, is like, yeah, do it, meet him. And I'm like, what?
I know. Why was everyone so okay with that? It just like, it kind of makes me scared for some reason of like, are people living double lives everywhere and I'm just so naive to it? Like, I just want life to be a rom-com, but not this one.
Yeah, yeah. This was like, usually rom-coms have that one thing where you're like, I don't know about that. And this one, I just felt that throughout the whole movie. I was like, but can we talk about what this whole story is based off of? Literal just cheating, just straight up cheating. And I can't.
I'm so glad we like opened with this, because that's how I felt. I was like, you're gonna sound like you're bashing one of the greatest movies of all time, but with this day and age, and it's like you said, well, it's so common now for people to slip into DMs and all of that, and I think that makes us probably even more hypersensitive, because we're like, please mm-hmm. don't let this happen in my life, and also romanticize right. it and like promote it.
Yeah, that's my biggest thing, is just romanticizing it and being like, see, your life could be like a movie if you're with someone that's good for you, but you just love another person. Like, that's fine to do. Like, no, let's not do that though. Yeah. Or at least talk about it. God.
When she says, the man coming here tonight is kind, he's funny, he's got the most wonderful sense of humor. And then Tom Hanks goes, but he's not here. That kind of hit. I have so many things to say about that.
Go. Unleash. So,
first, do you think you could fall in love with someone and like not care at all about their appearance? And just like, she obviously romanticized this man. Like, what if she wasn't attracted to him physically?
So I'm going to step right up to that question.
Step right up to the plate, girl.
So it depends on what you mean by not care at all. I'm going to say no, I could not. Because if you say not care at all about appearance, like, just what I think of is like someone doesn't like fix their hair, brush their teeth, or like basic hygiene things. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I like if someone did those things and like they shower regularly and they're a normal human, then maybe. I think I could, because I mean, ultimately, like, I've found I've been married for like almost three and a half years now. And like, I mean, I love, obviously, I think my husband's super hot, because that's, you know, what I think. But it's more his personality that I love. Like, when I miss him, it's not like, oh, I miss your face. Like, I do. But I miss, like, hanging out together and our conversations and stuff. So, like, having been married a few years, like, used to, I would have probably said, no, I couldn't. Like, they need to look good. But now I'm like, absolutely not. Like, because I definitely, what I'm more in love with is the person that he is, not what he looks like. Mm-hmm. So that's my answer to that. So, yes, I could, but, like, basic hygiene is a must. Next.
I feel like I definitely could. I feel like I could fall in love with someone's personality just from, you know, exchanging emails and stuff. But that initial meeting would definitely, like, appearance would, it would have to play a part. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think personality is something that totally changes your outlook on some people. I've been like, dang, you're a snack. And then we talk and I'm like, you're the worst. And suddenly they almost are unattractive in my eyes at that point.
Yeah, completely agree.
Yes, I could fall in love with someone based on personality and just talking. But then after meeting them, appearance would, in a small way, play a part.
So can I bring up the second part of what I felt about that?
Yes.
You'll know when you make it in Hollywood, when you get a therapist. and so when I had a therapist, I was just like, oh my gosh, I am killing it. Like, I've made it in Hollywood.
Thriving.
For sure. Loved therapy. And I just think everyone thrives in therapy, and I should probably have a therapist now. But But I remember at the time I was like describing this guy I was like in love with or something. And my therapist was like, Ashley, what do you think is the most important factor in a relationship? I was like, that he's kind or that he's sweet or, you know, nice or caring or there for you. And I named all these things. And she just looked at me and she's like, nope, it's that he chooses you and that you choose him.
Stop.
And I was like,
stop right now. I'm getting emotional.
Gosh. I know, right? I almost want to cry. It's such a beautiful yet simple concept. So when Tom Hanks goes, but he's not here, I was just like, yeah, all it takes sometimes is just showing up, you know?
That's so
and I feel
true.
Like we could relate to that to like quarantine times of like, it's hard for everyone, mm-hmm. but all, you know, sometimes all people need is just you to show up.
Or just like them proving to you that you're their number one, you know, like
yes.
That's just something I feel like is so common. People just don't take time for each other. It's like guys are playing video games or, you know, they do whatever. Mm-hmm. I can say that because my husband doesn't do it. You know, but like mm-hmm. that's like a common, I feel like, relationship issue. Or even like, I know like a lot of girls are on their phones all the time and like they don't give that attention. So like, wow, your therapist, yeah. 5-star rating.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Five out of five. If it's a 10-star, 10-star.
So then anytime I'd like go on a date with someone or whatever, and I'd be like, oh, is this? I'd be like, well, if he's not like choosing me, then who cares? It just does not matter at all.
Wow, that was important relationship advice. Everyone needs to subscribe.
Says the girl who's not married. No, which is me. I didn't mean – I meant you guys are married.
Right. Yeah. Yep. Hey, best advice though. That's so good.
On a lighter note, can I say something really funny?
Yes.
So I thought that Dabney Coleman, the old guy in the movie, I thought that was Dr. Phil.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny.
I thought it was Dr. Phil, had to Google it, and then even after I'd Google it, I was like, oh, that's that English grandpa from The Parent Trap with Lindsay. Nope, it
still
wasn't.
Still not it.
Definitely isn't wasn't. It? Still not it. I was like, wow, okay.
Oh, Lord.
How about those two? Okay, I'm looking it up. Okay, Jean Stapleton and Steve Zahn, who were the two workers that worked with her in...
I know him from Diary of a Wimpy Kid. He's the dad.
Oh, that thing you do. He was in That Thing You Do too.
Is it Tom Hanks in that too?
He was.
This is so crazy.
I wouldn't know.
Yeah, Lauren's like, can't relate.
And the soundtrack in this movie, absolutely fire.
Oh, yep. Yes.
All the jams, like every song that was playing, I'm like screaming the lyrics. Oh, I'm like, this is great.
That opening song, what was that opening? It was like every possible way.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, the best song. I feel like that song is in like so many movies, especially ones in New York. I feel like that's just such a classic song to show a character walking down the streets in New York. Mm-hmm. So good.
So good.
Okay. Can't beat it. You guys will be happy to know the soundtrack is on Spotify. I just confirmed that. So
oh my god.
Thank you so much.
Now,
when Joe brings Kathleen flowers, this is my question. Is it vase or is it vase?
Vase.
Wait, where are you guys from? I would say vase too.
I'm from North Carolina.
I'm from the Midwest. I'm from Illinois.
Ooh. It's funny because I could hear, I was like, there's a Midwest accent and then there's a Southern accent.
It me.
We say vase too.
Good.
I feel like only like maybe, I don't know, that's not fair. Fancy yeah, people? That's what I was going to say. Like maybe the elite say vase or something. Maybe
it does sound kind of elite.
Yeah.
There are those words.
I've said it as a joke. Right. Like, oh, yes, get me the vase. But, and that's what I always associate it with. I say it in some like uppity snooty mm-hmm. accent. Whereas if I were just saying it normal, I'd be like, hey, hand me that vase.
Like LaCroix. What do you guys say?
I say LaCroix.
I say trash.
We say nothing because we don't promote
claw.
It.
Yes. I'm like, add some alcohol, call it a white claw. There we go. End of story.
Oh, gosh.
What is LaCroix?
No, thank you.
Yes. you know what movie this also reminded me of? A little more modern movie in also a corny way. Cinderella Story with Chad Michael Murray and
yes.
Please shut your mouth. I love that movie so much. I love Chad Michael Murray. Oh my gosh.
Chad Michael Murray looked unhappy throughout most of his relationship. Mm-hmm. And that was the only bone that I had to pick with Kathleen, is because she never gave him signs. Yeah, she never gave him signs that she was unhappy. Like, she just loved the thrill of talking to this other guy via email. And I'm like, you're a little dirty two-timer.
And that's the thing. Like, I know you guys were hating on Joe a little bit earlier, but we have to hate on her too, because I feel like so many girls are like that nowadays too. It's like, oh, I'm going to talk to two guys because I like the attention. And I'm like, well, you're being so trashy right now. Stop. Like, pick one. Don't be selfish.
Yeah.
They were both completely in the wrong. Because both of them were in these little fakey relationships pretending it was fine, and the other significant others were none the wiser. So that's why I'm like, you're both tragic. So that's my hot take.
Yeah. But don't get me wrong. I'm going to be honest. Still love the movie. I definitely cried at the end because I'm a basket case. And it gets me every time. But two, Ange was crying. And, you know, when mom cries, I'm like, oh yeah, this is sad. I got to cry
too. Mom cries, you got to cry with her. What is that end line? He's like, I am trying to look it up. For as long as we both shall live. Like, he's...
Oh, yeah. He was saying different things that they were saying in the emails to each other. Like, can we do this and this and this for as long as we both shall live?
Oh, my. That's what got me. I was like, to hear a man that's not afraid of commitment. Like, yeah.
Right? And then she's like, she starts crying, and through her tears, she's like, I wanted it to be you. I lost it. Oh, I was like, I can't. Me too, honey. I wanted it to be the two of you. Like, so wrong, but it feels so right. I don't know.
What's funny about that line, I was like, you did? Like, I didn't see that coming.
Yeah, you were like, kind of like hating on him, so.
I didn't either, and especially from their last meeting when Joe was just Joe. He wasn't yet revealed as email guy, and he literally asked her out right then and there, and she was like, I gotta go. And I was like, okay. And then when she said, I really wanted it to be you, I was like, but did we want that to be him? Because you didn't seem like it. Like, you look.
Do we really love it though?
Yeah, she almost looked like upset that he would even ask her that, which I was like, okay, you're valid in feeling that because he sort of destroyed your career. So, you know, the fact that he's asking you out, I'd be a little taken aback.
Moments before.
Yeah. And then she's like, okay, well, I'm going to go, you know, see email guy, la-di-da, walking. And then it's him. And all of a sudden, all these puzzle pieces are coming together because she hears him calling for Brinkley. Isn't that his dad's name?
Yes, Brinkley? I love it.
And and I was like, that's the only reason why I like that scene, is because the dog was so dang cute, like pulling on his jacket.
And just like crying over here. Other... Lauren's like, screw this film. Paige is like, I love it so much.
Yeah, I was sitting there like, I don't like that they ended up together. This is not how I wanted it.
I know, I just didn't love it at the end. I was just like, I loved the line, and I'd love someone to like spout off some Say movie that. Quality stuff to me. Like that. But for them to actually be together, I was like, he's gonna get a lot more out of this than you are.
If we're being honest.
And I feel like she would just be living with him with so much resentment, because his business doesn't seem like it's going down anytime soon. So in the back of her head, she's gonna see him succeeding in this for the rest of her life with him, and in the back of her head, she's gonna be like, all right, well, he also made my career like sink into a dumpster, so that's
unless sick. She like became some big book editor or something. Because I will say, she alluded in the beginning of the movie that it wasn't necessarily her dream to run the bookstore, it was more her mother's dream.
But too, let's be honest, Joe's family was loaded, so if they work out, honey doesn't need to work a day in her life unless she just really wants to. So
she does want to, though.
But and too, like, having that family name, like, if they worked out, that would get her so far too in the book industry. Yeah. Like, she's truly set up. I'm like, you know, like, it's tragic what happened, but in a sense, if that really wasn't her dream, he kind of like helped her get out of that, even though it was so tragic the way that it happened. But like, happened, you know, maybe she's set up for success now, you know? All things work together for good.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, maybe. Way to bring that back around.
She just seems like, and pardon me, Miss Kathleen, if I'm putting words in your mouth, but she just seems like the type of woman that, like, obviously she got handed down the business from her mother, and it sounded like she wanted to make something out of it, but, like, on her own path. Because you're right, she did sound like she was very, like, oh, this was kind of my mom's thing, I want to do my own thing. But, like you said, to just even be involved now with the Fox name, that's kind of being handed down to her again. Mm. And I don't know if that's necessarily what she wanted for herself. Kind of like a handout. I don't know. It just seems like she wanted to kind of build something up for herself and not necessarily be like, well, now I'm with Daddy Warbucks, so let's get something out of it.
But, too, I feel like it would only be her doing that if she, like, did something directly with, like, the bookstore. Like, I mean, I'm all for, like, use your resources. Network, you know, plug in. Like, to get where you want to be, you have to, you know, step on some toes. And I'm like, if that's one of them, I'm like, stop it and keep going. Like, be successful.
Yeah, I'm going to play that devil's advocate that I kind of don't think she would go start something by herself. Like, I think she has such a kind of shy personality. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not very, like, type A, like, hustle bustle, that it mm-hmm. makes sense that she had this job because it was passed down to her. But yeah, I don't think she would go out and seek that again. Like, I don't think she's this big, like, entrepreneurial woman. Like, I work with a lot of those types and I know their personalities, and you really have to have that in you. So it actually makes a lot of sense to me that she would go under this umbrella and be like, let's start a children's museum or whatever.
I had read that the shop that they use, it was actually a cheese and antique store in real life. Ooh. And they, like, cleared it out for the movie. But now, get this. This is the point. It's an organic dry cleaner. What is that? Someone please explain.
What?
Yeah, an organic dry cleaner. Like, to me, I'm thinking of, like, on Beauty and the Beast, where they're, like, washing their clothes in the well in the town, and, like, it's on the washboards and stuff. Like, that's what I think of organic. Like, a machine is not involved whatsoever. So I need further clarification.
Maybe they just use, like, all natural suds. And
yeah, that's what I was thinking. Was like, maybe, yeah.
That's logical also. Okay.
But that also is so not romantic. Like, I would have been okay with an antique and cheese shop, but.
Right? Cheese and love, they go hand in hand. Like, I mean.
And wine.
I also, oh, always wine. That's not even a question.
Yes.
Something I also loved that I actually loved and I'm not going to hate on is,
okay,
well, the long intro was so ridiculously long.
Yes. But
also just hearing those sweet sounds of the dial-up speed and that, like, you've got mail.
I thought it was going to be a little bit more of a mic drop. Like, I thought it was going to say it at the end, like there was going to be some epic scene where, because, you know, you get the fallout and then all hope is lost. And then I thought she was going to come home one day to hear the, you've got mail. But nope, they dropped it right at the beginning. And I'm like, all right, we could do that too. That's all right.
We could do whatever we want. We've got Tom Hanks and Meg Ryan.
It was cute.
But it also, just the concept of waiting for your dial-up internet. The fact that you, if you were to meet someone, you can't just flake. You have to show up. Or, right. You know what I mean? They can't be, like, cancel, like, 5 minutes before.
Like, no, just kidding. Yeah.
You're just stuck. We had to be such more, like, accountable people back then.
Yeah, people now, like, it's too easy, you know, just, like, I don't feel like it, like, or whatever, you know. And I mean, I'm definitely guilty. Like, I just get so comfy. I'm like, yeah, no. Mm-hmm. I've been trying to be more, like, mindful of that actually this year, especially with everything going on, not being able to go anywhere. I'm like, wow, when I'm allowed to do things again, I'm going to show up because, you know, I want to show up. So.
The moral of the story is, if you're not finding that emotional connection with your partner,
let's go ahead,
have the conversation. Yep. See if you do. See if you can work on it. Don't just emotionally cheat.
Right. And Ashley taught us, if they're not choosing you, get out of there. Just go ahead and get out. So,
I have to give credit to my therapist.
We'll tag her.
Would not have learned that on my own.
Once I finished this movie, I sat there and I was like, oh, wow, that was a really, like, that was a cute movie. And it only took me a little bit to, now that we're talking about it and the thoughts and feelings have settled, yeah, now I'm like, was it really that great? Like, I'm looking back and I'm like, there were sweet moments, but I'm like, just kind of the whole underlying premise, I can't get behind it.
And also just, like, that it was assumed that, of course, she would like him. I don't know. Right. Like, I wish she would have been like, oh, well, I'm good. Like, that would have made that movie so great.
It's interesting because it tries to put this thought in your head, like, this is a really cute thing. And at first I did believe, wow, this is a really cute thing, like almost a forbidden love type situation maybe. But then when you just get down to the nitty gritty, you're like, that's just not, that doesn't seem right.
It's just times are so different. You know, this movie was like 22 years ago. So it's like, you know, I'm sure they had a totally different vision and idea. And I mean, society has drastically changed. So, I mean.
Mm-hmm. And that's why I said that there's kind of a whole era of films like these, mm-hmm, where you watch it and it's kind of a recurring theme like this one. Yeah, they're all like kind of cult classic type movies.
Oh, I love it, guys. You guys are so fun. You are
hilarious.
And I love that you guys have very, like, distinct views on cinema. We have to start back up the cinema society.
Yeah, right?
I gotta hit Chad.
Next time you see Chad, just rub jelly all over him and say that it was from Paige and Lauren.
Probably not, but I think I'll let you take the lead on that one. But
I just really wish that we maybe got some loose ends tied up. I feel like, mm-hmm, it really ended on a cliffhanger, and I need to know the aftermath.
This is very true.
Like, it ended on kind of like a, not a proposal, but like, maybe?
I know, that was such a strong way to say, like, should we go on a date?
Yeah. I was ready to see him, like, get down on one knee, and had he done that, I would have been furious.
Again, I loved that quote. I thought it was the cutest thing, but I guess it's kind of very inappropriate.
Yeah, just because, like, they literally both just got out of relationships and he's basically being like, be with me forever. I'm like, okay, oh, I get it. You like me. I don't know.
I get it. Like, chill out.
I feel like Ashley's going to blow us out of the water because she's a professional, but we need to step up, Lauren. Like, this is our moment to shine, okay? 3, 2, 1, go.
I want it to be you.
Oh, that's like agony. That was rich.
Ashley, where can people find you on the social
media? All over socials. Love that you asked this question. So important.
Yeah.
No, I should have changed my last name a long time ago because it's, like, kind of hard to remember. But just at Ashley Bornancin, Bornancin, Instagram, Facebook. I don't do Snapchat or TikTok.
Yeah, we don't support TikTok.
So, but mostly IG, you know it.
Just like you can find me at Lauren H. Writes and our podcast at @andheresy_pod. Paige, where can the people stalk you?
They can't. I deleted my Instagram. Kitty! Oh, it's h.hollinsworth.
Psych!
So dramatic.
What else do you have during quarantine?
Literally. I'm like, I've been on more, like, Instagram more than I ever have been in my life.
And guys, don't forget to go check out Latte and the Magic Waterstone on Netflix. Thanks. Because even as an adult, you're going to love it. Because if you like animation.
Because Lauren did.
Yep, because I did. And I'm not ashamed. Thank you so much for coming on. And
yes, it was so nice chatting with you, Ashley. That got really real.
No, it got so real. We all had notes.